Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Abundology Podcast. I'm excited today to talk to one of my good friends, Jamie Bolris, who is an Akashic Records reader, amongst other things that we'll talk about a little bit later. So I had you as a guest on one of my very first podcasts where, you know, I was just learning about podcasting. So maybe I didn't ask all the questions that I wanted to answer to. So I want to really thank you for coming back and giving me a second chance at this, Jamie.
Oh my gosh, of course. Oh my God. I'm so happy to be here and excited to be hanging out with you again, and happy winter solstice.
Yeah,
today.
We're recording this on the solstice. So indeed. That's nice.
A return to the light.
Thank goodness. I will take it. Yes.
Right. Well, I'm excited to be here. Thanks for having me back.
Well, let's jump right in because I do have a lot of questions today. Let's just start with the basic stuff. Like, what are the Akashic Records?
Of course. Well, the Akashic Records, everyone has one, and the Akashic Records are everywhere. So basically they're a vibrational archive of every soul in its journey. So it is basically it's like the soul's blueprint. So it's energetic record of every thought and feeling, every action, every situation, every circumstance that's ever happened within a soul's existence, and ever since your soul's incarnation. So basically, it's just a field, a very, very highly, highly sensitive field. And the Akasha, which is the root word for Akashic, is Akasha. And within that, which is actually a Sanskrit word, and within that field, that highly, highly sensitive field is where all the records are kept.
Okay, so every person has a record. What about animals?
Yes, yes. So, the Akashic records are everywhere. So every individual has a record. Your pets have an Akashic record. Your business has an Akashic record. Your home, your car, places. So the city you live in has an Akashic record. National parks, monuments. They all have Akashic records that can be accessed.
That is super cool. I did not realize that about national parks. You know, I live really close to Yellowstone now. So yeah. One time I'm going to have you open the records for Yellowstone to see what we get for those.
So, absolutely.
So it's a record of everything that has happened since your soul's
in like conception.
Started conception. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it gives you the record of that. But what about future stuff? Are there some things that are, say, I don't want anyone fated or in your records that you can access through this also?
Yeah, there's probable, there's potential and probable outcomes. But because we live in a free will, you know, kind of place in the universe, everything is free will. So, so it can change. You know, we have the ability to change our mind, and we have the ability to do something differently. So, so the Akashic Records aren't necessarily future predicting, and they can't really address when questions either, because time is not linear. Everything is happening all at once. Mm-hmm. So, it doesn't really answer like one questions, like, you know, when am I going to meet my soulmate, or, you know, when am I going to get that promotion, or, and they're not future predicting because we do have free will, but given kind of how we move through the world and our behaviors and our trends and kind of like what we do, it could give a sense of the future, but again, they're not like going to a psychic and asking questions of what a psychic would be. They're actually very, very vibrationally, they're very, very gentle. You have the keepers of your records, which is your soul guidance team. And they are very protective of your records. And they're only going to kind of like sort of disseminate what you're ready to hear and what's going to be most, you know, beneficial for you to hear at the time. They're they're very loving and very non-judgmental, and they're also very, very practical. You know, they give you just really practical, grounded guidance. So if you're already kind of thinking about something, say that, you know, you're kind of working through an issue in your life, maybe through your business or through work or whatever, you know, things are already kind of moving internally. If you were to get a record reading and ask some questions about that, it could be very just affirming of sort of what you're already kind of thinking about. So they're very gentle in that way.
You aren't going to get, and this happens to me because, you know, I do a lot of channeling of spirit guides. Mm-hmm. And people will ask questions and the guides are like, nope, we're not giving you that answer, you know?
Right. Well, not yeah. And,
yes. So.
Right. And because, like, you know, Akashic sounds so kind of exotic, you know, it sounds like the first time I ever heard like the word Akashic, like I was instantly just like struck by it, you know, and certain people, like they'll get struck by it. And so it sounds like it could be like, oh my gosh, I'm going to have a reading and it's going to be this like amazing catharsis of like, you know, the clouds will part and the angels will sing, and all of a sudden I'm going to get like all be flooded with all the answers, you know. Yeah. but they're much more gentle than that, you know. They're more reaffirming kind of what you're already kind of already thinking about and noodling on. They're great for, you know, relationships, you know, like great relationships, challenging relationships. They're really awesome for like money and abundance, kind of like your mindset around money. And that's too where like, you know, ancestral patterns can come in. They're really great with like those unwanted, pesky ancestral patterns that we carry over lifetime after lifetime after lifetime that aren't ours sometimes. Like they're not like that. That scarcity money mindset that came in from my great, great, great grandparents from the war, or from, you know, some like drought they were in, or just some lifetime of scarcity isn't my reality right now, but that pattern carries over and over and over. And right now I'm getting a lot of clients where a lot of people are breaking that pattern. Like, they're like, oh my gosh, I don't know what's going on. Like, I've got this, like this block with money, or I've got this block with, maybe starting my own business or being an entrepreneur, especially right now with this time period we're all in. And all those like limiting beliefs are just like carried over ideas and beliefs
that aren't necessarily ours.
Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly.
So I remember last time we talked, one of the things that really struck me was addiction and how addiction can be carried over. Can you talk just a little bit about that?
Sure. Yeah. It could be alcohol. You know, it could be food. It could be, it could be drugs. It could be, you know, and like health and wellness too. Like, you know, any kind of like, you know, any sort of, like say MS or, you know, any kind of lower back issue, or just any host of things. And that also kind of comes up with the introspective hypnosis as well, which I'll talk about as well. So we're able to go into your records and identify, you know, maybe one of your questions is like, I've got this block with money, you know, I have this idea. Sometimes we can even go, we could channel like a past life, and it'll be like, okay, well, what I'm seeing here is, maybe you had a past life where, you had a business and you had a partner and you took everything from your partner, and money was the only thing important to you, and you ditched everything and you ditched your family, and you ended up betraying this partner, and you took took your company's money and you ran. You know, so that's, you know, that's that soul karma, right? And then you got caught, and like say you're even laundering money or something like that, and then you get caught and then you lose everything. So then in your mind you're equating you know, money being really important, but then also if I acquire any of it, I'm going to lose everything. I'm going to get caught. I'm going to get in trouble. I'm going to be imprisoned. I'm going to lose my whole family. I'm going to lose my business partner, and I'm going to be alone, you know, living in a cabin somewhere, you know, like for real. Yes. Right. So like you yes. bring those, like those patterns with you, like lifetime after lifetime. So we can go into your records and potentially see a situation like that.
And so then once the records are open, you see a situation like that. What happens from that point? What I remember one time us talking about the ripples of mm-hmm. opening your records.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. So we're able to like identify, you know, so we can identify like, oh, so we can make that correlation now. So right now you're making this correlation of like, you know, money, there's consequences in making money. You know, I'm going to lose everything. Like as one example. So then number one, you identify that, you're like, wow, okay. So that's not me in this life, you know, but this isn't me. And we can, at that point also that lifetime and that memory is stuck in that moment, in that parallel reality. And we can go in and we can do forgiveness work and we can heal it. So we can say, and I guess again in this example, we can go to that business partner and we could bring that business partner forth and their higher self and bring them forth to apologize and heal that, explain what was going on, hear their vantage point, that they could talk to each other. We could bring in the family members that who got abandoned as a result of like, you know, your behavior and taking off, so you can like heal, you can heal with your family. And then you could forgive yourself for, being short-sighted and not seeing. So we can go in and we can heal that whole timeline, hence healing it for now. And then, you know, you'll have that awareness of like, wow, okay. So
yeah,
you know, that isn't me, right?
Yeah. And then that shifts everything.
Exactly.
Years ago, I had a Akashic Records reading and I used to have a pain like in my upper back between my shoulder blades, and there was nothing physically wrong. So I had a reading, and what came up was in a previous lifetime, I had been literally stabbed in the back by somebody. And so right. we did some healing work around that, like you're talking about, the forgiveness, bringing it up. And since that point, I have had no pain in my upper back. It's amazing.
Right. It's amazing, right? Yeah, yeah, it works.
Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, so like, they're really good for like relationships too, since we're sort of talking about that. So even like now, say like with a colleague or maybe a relative or a friend, say maybe you had a falling out with them, your child, you can go into your own records, and bring forth their higher self, and you guys can like come to the table and have a meeting about like, okay, this is what happened. I'd like to know what's your side of the story? What's your point of view on this? And you and your higher selves can have a conversation and apologize and make amends and heal and, you know, hug it out and, and then release each other with love. So we could do lots of healing in our own records with various relationships in our life. Now, in terms of, you know, can you open the records of your pets? Can you open the records of your child? So number one, with children, you have to be 18 years or older to go into the records.
Okay. Well, that's legit. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, from like, you know, it's a pretty powerful space and resource. So you want to use it responsibly. And you have to, you can't just open the kind of willy-nilly, you can't just go and open the records of like, you know, your friend or, you know, or your child or your pet, you have to have their permission to do it. So, and if for whatever reason you can't get their permission, maybe they won't allow it. They won't allow you access or just any, whatever circumstance it might be. You can always go into your own records and talk about their relationship from your vantage point and your records, and healing can happen just the same in that regard as well.
So when you're talking about getting their permission, clearly our dog can't say, yeah, go open my record. So when you are in your state, I'm going to call it your Akashic Records opening state, is that when you are asking their souls, is it okay to open the records? Is that when that happens? Or
really it's as simple as just like getting quiet and getting, just getting calm and centered, just grounding yourself. As if you're going to like, you know, ground yourself for a meditation, close your eyes. And then in your mind's eye, just have your dog or your cat or your ferret, you know, there in front of you. And just ask them, you know, okay, can I go into your Akashic records and explain the reason why, you know, I've kind of sensing, maybe you're not feeling well. I noticed this kind of this lump on your hip, or, and I want to see what's going on. Maybe behaviorally they're acting different, a little off or something. And then generally you'll be able to kind of pick up, like, we know our pets pretty well, you know, we're pretty connected to them. So we're going to be able to pick up, like, if they say yes or no. For instance, I tried to do it with my cat once, and, you know, on a couple different occasions, the first time, like, he gave me eye contact and he kind of like gave me kind of a slow blink, you know, and then I took that as a yes. Another time, I asked him and then he turned his back and he walked away, and I was like, okay, all right, can't do it.
That's pretty clear.
Yeah, right. So, you know, it's really important to honor it and to respect it. As part of, like, I guess, sort of the, you know, sort of rule or guideline, in the records, but a lot of healing can take place, you know, in discovering, again, any kind of hardship that's going on with you and a coworker or anything like that. Like, it's kind of a new tool that I've been recently using, is like going in and calling in their higher self and having a conversation.
Yeah, that's really interesting. Now, in your experience, are you seeing, and we talk about this, you know, in the, I don't even know what you would call it, the spiritual world, are you seeing souls that have had other lifetimes together that are now, like, in this lifetime together? Are you seeing patterns of people staying together? Maybe one time you were the child and your partner was, you know, the mom, or vice versa. Do you happen to see that in the records?
Oh yeah, for sure. Like, you know, a good example is, showing up for an agreement, you know? So say there is like a mother and a daughter, or a son and a mother, father, whatever. And say they have a really, really hard relationship. Like, there's a lot of challenge and a lot of consternation, and we'll go into the records and we can ask some questions about that. Like, what's going on? Like, what's going on with him? What's going on with her? And like, oftentimes what comes through is like, your soul needed to grow in this way. Your soul needed to learn what it was like to maybe be independent, or maybe to have a voice, or maybe to step into your power, or maybe, you know, maybe to express yourself more, on how you're feeling about this person. And so your soul needed to grow. And before you even entered, you made the contractual agreement to, be, you know, let's say, you know, mother and daughter, or mother and son. And, you knew you were going to come in and it was going to be a hard relationship. You made this agreement because you your soul needed to grow in this way. And you needed to learn, like, independence and, you know, independent thinking and having a voice more, stepping into your power more. And they showed up for it, you know, like they showed up for you, you know? So you get to see, like, from your soul's perspective, like on a soul level, like kind of from that higher vantage point of, the bigger picture of like why they came in, and thanking them. Thank you so much for showing up for this agreement that we had, because we are in this, like, this whole spectrum of free will. Like, you didn't have to show up for this. You didn't have to, you could have not been born. There could have been a complication at birth. You could have just, whatever, a host of reasons. So thank you so much for showing up, because I know, you know, or for instance, like, here's actually a better example. Say you get raped, or you get sexually violated in a life, or something terrible happens to you, you know, like, thank you for showing up and helping my soul grow to give me that vantage point of what it's like to be a victim. Like, maybe I need to see what it's like to be a victim in life, because I didn't have any idea what it's like to be a victim, because maybe in a past life, I too have violated somebody in that life. And I needed to be on the receiving end of that. So thanks for like showing up, because typically those people that show up, even the person that raped you or whatever, God forbid, they're probably in your soul family. And they're here to help your soul grow. So thanks for showing up and playing that really hard role in our movie together, and that character and being that actor to help my soul grow, because I needed to know what it felt like to be violated.
Yeah.
So thanks for showing up, because you didn't have to, because, you know, that day that that happened, you could have made a different choice.
Yeah.
So we get to see that bigger picture and have appreciation and gratitude for our soul's growth and the people and the right actors and the right places at the right times who come in to help us learn that.
And that just that knowledge shifts your whole perspective around things. You know, when I was 31, my husband Larry passed away at that time. Horrible, right. Horrible experience.
Yeah,
good. And changed the direction of my life and has made it so much better. For that, I thank him for coming in and helping me, you know, with this huge growth from that event.
Absolutely.
So once you can shift your perspective about that, it's like everything changes. You're completely. Not a victim anymore.
Exactly. Exactly. Yes. Yeah. Remember, before we entered, our soul guidance team, we sat at a table and we drafted up what was going to be big events that are going to happen in our lives, because this is where our soul needs to grow. And remember, as crazy as planet Earth is, this is our place to like to learn how to be in it and for our soul to grow. So we really wanted to be here. We couldn't wait to get here.
Some days it's hard to believe that.
We were so excited about this pandemic. We were super excited about COVID-19. Like, honestly, we were, because, well, I mean, even just now in the last 2 years, the expansion of consciousness in general has leaps and bounds.
Unbelievable. Almost everybody that I talk to's life has completely shifted in this last year and a half, 2 years.
Completely.
And this was one of those wake up points before we got here, you know, okay, whatever's going on, when this happens, mm-hmm. boy, you're going to wake up and things are going to be different after that.
100%.
Yep.
Yeah. And so speaking of like the shift, you know, so it's been going on for in our lifetimes and like 2012 and whatnot, but even like now, you know, there has been this expanded consciousness and this opening. So as a result, anyone can access the Akashic Records now if you feel a call to it. It didn't used to be that way. I mean, it used to be Edgar Cayce was the first one in recorded history anyway, who had access to the Akashic Records, and he would do it in his sleep. You know, and his wife would be sitting there recording what he was saying. He'd be in a hypnotic state. But not everyone had access to it, because we weren't vibrationally able to raise our vibration to be able to hear and trust what was coming in. Right. Wow. So the Akashic Records, like something to think about is like, well, aren't we just really just listening to our higher self when we go into the records? Yes, our higher self is actually guiding us to the records, to the hall of the records, to then, you know, access events and answers that we want. But it's not the same. Our higher self and the Akashic Records are two different fields of vibrational fields. So should anyone feel the call to go into the records, they are able to do it.
They're able to do it. That's fascinating. Mm-hmm. I know that you have helped me before, and this is a couple of years ago, you did my first reading with you, and we talked about Montana. I'm not sure if you remember about moving to Montana and this being a really great vibrational place for me.
And now you have that gorgeous lodge that you live in, that beautiful lodge looking home.
And honestly, we were talking about meeting my person. And the funny thing is, I have to tell you, Jamie, when I lived in Portland, I wasn't really attracted to anybody there. They just weren't my people. Lovely people, just not my guy, didn't live there. Since I have gotten here, like 20 guys a day could be my person. So talking about being in the vibrational place that matches you.
Resonance, right?
Yes.
Resonance. That's huge. That's huge.
Yes.
Right. Oh, it came through. So I mean, it's right away. Like, actually two places came through, I recall. And it's funny because I certainly don't remember, you know, so much stuff comes in with my clients and I don't remember most of it, but this came through really, really, really clearly of like Montana or New Mexico. I remember both of those places came through. The people and the guys in Montana are very different than in Portland, than the hipsters in Portland. So I can totally see that. That's amazing. That's awesome.
Yeah. Now, you had mentioned earlier about quantum healing, and I have no idea what that is. Can you just give us a brief little, you know, breakdown about what quantum healing is? And
yeah, for sure. So I recently became certified in introspective hypnosis, which is quantum healing.
Okay.
Basically what it is it's kind of uncovering like the origin of like a pain or like depression or a phobia or anxiety or sadness, addictions, just any like even relationship issues, just any kind of issue, that you're having. So could be like, you know, lower back or my neck, or like you said, between your shoulder blades. And we, our subconscious mind, you know, covers up what that is, right? Like you said, I was literally like, you said, like stabbed in the back, right? Like you didn't go into this life remembering that, right? You know, that's like a soul imprint. Like that's a memory from another lifetime, right? So we go in and we uncover what that symptom is. And it could be in this life or a past one. And we go to the origin of it. And the origin can be in this life when you were a baby or when you were a kid, or it could be a past life. And there's various healing techniques and modalities that I use to go in and heal it. It could be a lot of it is like forgiveness therapy, like role change. Role changes where you get to hear the perspective of the other person, of like what they did to you or what you did to them, future projecting, and then communication with souls and sometimes some spirit releasement. Sometimes we can have spirit attachments to us that we don't even know are even there.
Oh, okay. So before we go any further, I am interested in tell me a little bit about these spirit attachments. Is it like anything? I'll take any info on that because I do not know much about it at all.
Yeah. So spirit releasement therapy is really what it's called, and quantum healing is just a very kind of a small portion of that. So this is so it exists, but this is not what quantum healing really is. But
okay.
But I'll go into that, which is it's separate.
Okay.
Sometimes, so there are spirits who have not crossed over to the other side for whatever host of reasons. It could be they don't know that they died. They're not even aware that they died. In fact, I should share this story with you in a minute. They're not aware that they died. It could be they don't want to leave, like they're in denial that something's going on. It could be that they're really attached to their person still, like their husband or their wife, you know, or whoever, and like they don't want to leave them. It could be an indebted, like, you know, or like, you know,
yeah,
like I don't want to leave you because it's kind of a bad juju thing, whatever host of reasons that they have their reasons, you know? So they just, and usually like energetically, like they resonate with that person too, like vibrationally. So like addiction is a good one. So if someone has an addiction to alcohol or drugs, sometimes that could be a spirit attachment of a spirit. And you could pick them up like anywhere. So you could pick them up in hospitals. You could pick them up in like cemeteries. You could pick them up. Like those are kind of like the highly sensitive places where they kind of hang out, because there's a lot of death in hospitals. There's like death in cemeteries. You could pick them up traveling sometimes. They're kind of called hitchhikers. So like vibrationally, they get a resonance and then they just attach to you. And you could feel like the way that it kind of shows itself is through like, it could drain your energy. It could drain your motivation. You could start to have kind of looping negative thoughts about yourself and your life and your like, but just like kind of this sort of perseverating on it. You could feel depressed. You could, sort of binge drink more than you typically would, or binge eat more than you typically would. You can kind of have like emotional kind of, or feel erratically, emotionally erratic, any various things where you can have an attachment.
And so the quantum healing then can help get rid of those hitchhikers.
You know, there's some, so we'll have like an interview prior to the session. So the sessions last anywhere between like between 3 and 3.5 hours.
Oh wow, so that is deep stuff there. Yeah.
So we'll have a pre-talk and an interview. You know, asking you just like kind of about your life and the kind of like the reasons why you feel drawn to having a session. And after that, we'll just put you in a relaxed state. You know, all hypnosis is self-hypnosis. So, you're completely in control. You're totally aware of what's going on in the room. In fact, you're actually more in a heightened state of awareness because you've kind of put your ego in the back seat and your higher self comes forward. So you're completely in the driver's seat the whole time. And basically we'll just bring you to a memory on, you know, whatever. Sometimes people come to sessions because they are like maybe they have a money scarcity belief, or maybe some tragic event happened in their life, like a rape or a sudden death or something that they haven't processed still, and it's kind of holding them back. Maybe they're having a hard time kind of stepping into their own power and just, you know, their abilities and what they can do. So, yeah. So then we'll take you to your first memory on when you had that, and kind of where it originated. And then we start the various healing techniques to reframe it and to heal it.
Okay. So what strikes me with this whole conversation is we're coming up to the first of the year. And with all of the consciousness shifts over the last couple of years with COVID, that, and let's say their political stuff too has helped in this way. Oh, yeah. This is the time to like really get this stuff taken care of once and for all. Whatever is holding you back, scarcity mindset, your weight, physical issues, addiction, healing of things that need to be healed, you know?
Yeah, because you carry this over lifetime after lifetime after lifetime after lifetime after lifetime after lifetime. So it's time for us to go in and heal this shit. We got to heal this, man, because not only do we have it in our soul that we just carry over. So another part of introspective hypnosis is soul fragmentation, where, you know, again, the thought of like everything is happening all at once and time is not linear. We have different timelines and different lives on different timelines and events that happen. So say, for instance, I was a soldier but in Scotland in a war. And let's say I got half my body blown off in a trench. Well, my my consciousness can't process like that event and what happened. It's just, it's so shocking, and the adrenaline and everything, that a part of our soul fragments, and we're in that event in our life, and it just stays there. So there's a part of me. So this reminds me of this situation. So I'm going to tell you an interesting story. So here in Chicago, there's a famous fire in 1871, where the entire city burned down. It's a historical event. It's common knowledge for a lot of people. I went this summer. My wife and I, we went on this gangsters and ghosts tour. Ooh, in Chicago. Fun. It was fun. Super cool. It was super amazing. But we got down to the waterfront, right in the middle of Chicago. There's a river that goes right out into Lake Michigan, right there, all of Chicago, this really, really beautiful city. And the tour guide says, and here is a huge epicenter of what happened for the Chicago fire. Back in the day, meatpacking plants didn't have places to process the fat from the meat. They didn't have any kind of way to dispose of it. So they had all this tallow, and they just dumped it in the river. They just threw it in the river, mm-hmm. just let it go on by. When this fire hit, the first thing people are thinking is I'm gonna go jump in the river, you know, save my life. Well, all of a sudden, once the fire hit the river, the tallow, it's like a huge grease fire. So all these people are in. So the tour woman said, she goes, it's been often told that when people walk by, or when they're running by or coming by with their families on the bike or whatever, they'll hear screams of these souls that are burning to death in this river tallow grease fire. So she's like, it's common knowledge where people will just hear the screams. And I was so struck by this. I was like, oh my God, that's a travesty. So that's an example of how that's a timeline that's been frozen, where their souls had fragmented from like the rest of their souls. And they're stuck in this timeline, trapped, because they're stuck and they can't go anywhere. Some of them, they don't know. They still think that they're there. Right.
Right.
So anyway, I was thinking to myself, how can I like heal these souls? What can I do like to go down? And kind of long story long, a colleague connected me with someone who goes and releases souls that are in the void, or souls that are trapped. So actually just this last weekend, there was 184 souls in the water, and 300 total that died. And we went in and we released them all from the water and brought them back to the light.
Wow.
Yeah.
Super cool.
Yeah. Yeah. And one of these souls, we had to give them all names. And I looked up, obituary fire, 1871, Chicago, and I only found 15 names that actually got recorded. But whatever techniques this guy uses, he just goes back and he assigns names to all of them. So he, in that time. So one of the names, Matthias, which I looked at this list of names that he used, because I had to go in and assist with this, and I did a prayer and I released them as well. But this one name, Matthias, I'm like, and then he told me, a guide came in and said, Jamie, you were one of the people that died in this fire, and that's why you're so drawn to this event. Which, like, I was like, oh, well, that totally makes sense. And when I saw Matthias right there, in this list of names, and the guide said, Jamie, you were Matthias. So Matthias did this whole transcribed this message from Matthias, who was me, who was a fragment of one of my souls, who's part of my soul. And he did this whole long message, just basically thanking him and thank you so much. And thank you. We are beyond elated, and we're crying, we're sobbing with tears of joy and elation that we've been trapped here for all these hundreds of years, centuries. And we just we can't even thank you enough for just freeing us from this experience. So,
wow.
Anyway,
that's pretty powerful.
Yeah, pretty crazy, right?
That's pretty crazy. But once again, just goes to show you, especially when we've been around, I don't know, hundreds of lifetimes. How many lifetimes would you estimate? I know
thousands
of lifetimes.
Absolutely.
Wow. So you know that thousands of lifetimes, it doesn't matter how great you are, you got shit hanging out there that needs to be healed.
100%. 100%.
Yep. So, well, you can work with Jamie with Akashic Records, the quantum healing, any of that. You can find her on her website, akashicroots.com. Mm-hmm. And something really cool, right now we're having a sale. We really wanted to make this sort of spiritual healing accessible to people. So Jamie and me and our friend Deborah Norton are doing a special where you get an hour Akashic Records reading with Jamie, you get an hour astrology reading with Deborah, and then you get an hour with me with Abundology and talking to your spirit guides and all that kind of stuff.
Woo-hoo!
And yeah, you get all 3 hours for only $300. So I will put a link to that in the show notes, also a link to Jamie's website. And if you only want just the Akashic Records and me, you can do that too. So that's an option too. Yeah.
Excellent.
Thank you for sharing all this wonderful information. I've learned so much.
Nice.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, thank you. And thank you for the amazing work you do in the world and helping to heal all the trapped energy that we carry along with us all the time, and just helping people be just a little freer and a little more empowered. So thank you for your work as well.
Thank you. All right, everybody. We'll talk to you again next time. Thanks
for listening. Thanks, Renee. Take care.